The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/new.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
The Burt Show.
You guys want to hear something crazy?
Yeah. Sure.
I got good sleep last night.
Well, good for you.
Yay.
That is crazy.
The last two nights, actually, I walked in here today and I have been bombarding Abby with enthusiasm about my health because I have all these gadgets on my watch and apps that tell me what my body stress level is, right? And the last 2 days, I've had the highest scores, highest health scores I have ever had in my life.
It's because kids are back in school. It's benefiting everybody.
and I don't even have one in there. But wild. Just wild. Told me I should feel great today. And I do wonder, because Abby asked the question, like, when these gadgets tell you that you're supposed to be in a great mood and that you got great sleep and you'll feel, it literally says you will feel unstoppable today.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if you start feeling unstoppable because it told you that mm-hmm. you're supposed to feel unstoppable.
A little placebo effect going on.
Yeah, it's like a health horoscope.
Maybe. Yeah, kind of.
A little bit, because if you don't feel good, then it's kind of like, okay, maybe this thing is lying to me. Maybe this thing is just like, okay, he feels a little down today, so why don't I give him a little kick in the butt by saying right. he's going to be unstoppable.
Right, it could be happening. How was your day yesterday?
It was pretty good. Yeah. I want to say I did something super exciting, but I feel like I just knocked out a bunch of work and then went for a walk.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish I was living some crazy, wild 28-year-old life, but, you know, Tuesday's Tuesday.
Yeah, especially with this. If you're up this early in the morning, it's not just a radio thing. It's a timing thing. You can't go out and enjoy the day, the night, I should say, because you got to be up so early.
Yeah. I am dog sitting for a friend, though, and the dog is so cute.
Oh, yeah.
And it does remind me why I have cats and not dogs. Dogs are a lot of work.
Uh-huh. Way more high maintenance. Uh-huh. Cass, how are you today?
I am great. Yesterday was my husband Chad's birthday. If you remember a couple weeks back, and you can catch up on the podcast if you missed it, I talked about he really didn't want to have a big birthday celebration because of everything going on in our lives. So I quasi ignored it. I mainly respected it. We went out to a date lunch together because the kids, for the first time, we have both kids in school. So my God, the free time is amazing. So we had another like hour long conversation, which was awesome. And then for dinner, I sent him to the movies by himself to go see the new Fantastic Four. Mm. So I did carpool duty, picked up the kids, which he normally does. And then for dinner, I transformed the kitchen into like an Italian restaurant. So we just went to Target with the kids, got some cheap decor, like a checkered tablecloth or checkered napkins, red tablecloth, a couple of candlestick holders, some balloons. And we made pizzas. I made a little menu, called it the Woodhouse Wood-Fired Kitchen, and made a little menu with all the offerings. It was like cheese pizza and then a fig and prosciutto pizza, and we made pizzas for him for his birthday.
Can you?
So cute.
It was. And I was so proud because I felt like I respected his wishes of not spending a lot of money, and I was still able to celebrate him, and he loved it.
Good on you.
Thanks.
Good on you. KK, how are you?
I'm good. Yesterday, I had my six-month follow-up at Stat Wellness. My numbers are looking good, like you. She said if I had a gold star, I would give it to you.
Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Have you felt that way?
Yeah.
It lines up.
Yeah. I mean, there's been like, there's life stress, but as far as like my cholesterol numbers are going down, my muscle mass is going up, like we're getting stuff under control, which feels really good.
Can I tell you, when I do blood work and I'm waiting for the results, it's the same feeling I had when I was waiting for results to get into college. I'm just so excited. I can't wait.
Okay. I am not like that at all.
I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
It just says, hey, we're keeping you out of a coffin.
Then I had, it is nice to have those extra hours. I had a little breakfast by myself, got some work done, had a couple of meetings yesterday, did the carpool experience with Jimmy. It went a little smoother today.
Okay, good.
Yep. So it didn't take as long, and I got my child this time with no problem. So that was lovely. And yeah, it was a nice chill day yesterday.
Okay. This is life right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is, most of our days are just like this.
Yeah.
Right?
As it should be.
Pretty average. Right. I couldn't even handle anything higher or lower consistently. Like Cassie's life?
Yeah.
I'd have folded a long time ago.
I just ignored
to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
A financial exchange named Kalshi thinks that there is an odds in favorite to headline the 2026 Super Bowl halftime show. And it is kind of the most obvious choice, because when you're in charge of the Super Bowl halftime show, you would think at some point you're going to put yourself in this halftime show. So they believe that Jay-Z, who has been the producer of the Super Bowl halftime show, is the favorite to be the performance, the headliner for the 2026 halftime show.
While super exciting, I mean, Jay-Z is Jay-Z when it comes to music. I mean, he's one of the GOATs, right? He's just going to get so much crap if he assigns himself. It's like, it would be like the Nepo Bowl. Like, he would just be giving himself the job, right? People are going to give him a hard time.
Dude, are they putting odds on Taylor Swift? Because my theory, and I think you might have brought it up initially on the show, was that once she owned all of her masters and her music, then she might do the Super Bowl, because she would directly make all the cash off the residual streams, because artists don't get paid for the Super Bowl, but they benefit on the back end, right? Mm-hmm. With more streaming of their songs, and that's where the cash flow comes from. She's wrapped the Eras Tour. It's been a few months since she's wrapped it, so good for sleepy downtime. As far as I know, she doesn't have anything else planned, but I heard that she just filmed a music video.
Yes.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So wouldn't that be great timing if you dropped a single and then hit the Super Bowl to perform your newly acquired back catalog of masters and launched your new single?
Yeah, I appreciate her grind for sure. I just think if I'm Taylor Swift and I'm worth that much money, it's really all about the music at that point. And do you really need the money and the residuals from a Super Bowl appearance?
No, you don't. But if we live in a capitalist society where we have to pay you all the time for everything, then you need to pay us in your time.
At the same time, as an artist, to me, this is like one of those things I would want to check off my artist bucket list.
Yeah.
Like, because you have to pay for the set list. Like, you don't get any funding for it. Like, you have to fund it, which, of course, billionaire Taylor Swift is going to have no problem doing. In my opinion, I don't think we're going to get a Taylor Swift halftime performance until after Travis Kelce is out of the football league.
Okay.
Because I think she's going to want to say, hey, like, dude, this is your thing. Like, I don't want any attention being taken away from you until he's out of the NFL. So I highly doubt she'll be in the 2026 halftime show. And a lot of people feel the same way, because the stats are coming out that if it's not Jay-Z, the top contender for the halftime show is Post Malone, Cardi B, Metallica, Dua Lipa. But I don't think she's going to be in the halftime show. No. And then maybe our favorite artist, Ice Spice.
How about a Post Malone Jelly Roll?
Oh, that'd be so good.
Halftime show. I mean, they just got done with their tour, right?
Do we know where the halftime show is this year? Because don't they sometimes try and tie it in with the the city?
I believe it's California.
Yeah, it is.
Santa Clara.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So maybe not a country artist this year, but maybe somebody from California.
If you guys could pick like your ideal, let's take Taylor Swift out of it, because she is a likely for one day. A long shot artist performance for the Super Bowl, who would you choose? Like, for me, it would be a reunion of Britney, NSYNC, and the Backstreet Boys. Bring them back. 90s pop, it would crush.
Long shot?
Yes, long shot. Like, that's never going to happen.
Amy Winehouse?
Okay, too long.
Long shot.
Hey, no, but we could get AI with her, Ozzy Osbourne,
and a selfie stick.
Tina Turner. Just like Rod Stewart did at that this performance of Forever Young the other day. Yeah, no. For me, I can't think of anybody that would be a total long shot because I'm basic and I love people that are mainstream. So all my favorite artists are probably going to perform the halftime show at one point. But you know what artist I love that I don't think people know that I love is I love Matchbox 20. I love Matchbox 20. So you know what? That would be my long shot pick just because
that's a long shot.
Yeah, we ain't never going to see Matchbox 20 in the Super Bowl halftime show.
We've had Rob Thomason here a couple of times. Super nice guy. In fact, I still have, I got to bring this picture in for you. Him holding Hollis. Hollis was about a year old. Yeah. And he's doing the interview with my kid in his hands.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I think he just played here the other night. He just dropped a new album.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Love my boy Rob Thomas.
I actually would like a rock. Like, the idea of Metallica really, really excited me. I was not prepared for that reaction, but I think that would be incredible.
So good.
The Burt Show.
Sure, you go to a fancy charity event. They want you to dress up in formal wear. You get it, right? You go to a wedding. You got to dress up for that. There is a dress code. Makes a lot of sense. But kindergartners having a dress code?
Yes, it's ridiculous. My jaw dropped when I heard this. So I was with some other moms chatting and then it came up and I hadn't even read this. You know, maybe this is on me. There are some parents who literally read every single piece of information that they can get. Now we're up to 5 different apps. God knows how many PDFs. I'm like, nope, I'm going to read the calendar that they send home. I will subscribe to the PTA calendar. Anything else I need to know, I will get in an email. Like, I cannot be studying for a PhD level course in kindergarten, okay? So talking to some other moms, then it came up about a dress code, and my head snapped so fast. I was like, what? There's a dress code? And I assumed it was like a dress code they had in pre-K where they had to wear closed-toe shoes just for the playground and stuff like that. I'm like, totally makes sense. Or maybe even if your kid's going to wear a dress, put shorts on underneath, which we do anyway. No, it was they're not allowed to show their shoulders.
Ooh.
For
you, that's no bueno.
We live in the 7th circle of hell, a.k.a. Georgia in the summer, okay? It's been unnaturally cold last few days, and by unnaturally cold, 75 degrees, okay?
Hasn't been fantastic, though.
It's been amazing. Glorious. Actually, it did drop to, like, the 60s the other night, and nice. I was like, oh, God is real.
Sidebar, I have an English bulldog that I can't really walk very much in the summer here in Georgia because it's so hot, and they get, they'll just have, like, she'll have a seizure, right? So the last couple of days, I have been able to walk her, and she says, like, I can't wait for the heat again because she's put like 7 pounds on.
Oh, poor thing. And it's so I feel her pain. I step outside and I start sweating buckets. Yeah. And kids are no different. And they're running around outside, climbing, playing, being kids. And my thing is, I understand sometimes rules are made and I might not understand them, but there's good reasoning for them. And I try and think through that. I cannot for the life of me wrap my head around why a 5-year-old should not be allowed to show their shoulders at school.
Is it a super conservative school?
No, nope, I mean, it's not.
It's not like a religious Catholic school.
Yeah, Catholic school, I would understand. You need to cover yourself up for chapel. I respect that. But this is a public school. So in my head, public, not private. So in my head, I'm like, yeah, okay, probably not going to do that. Maybe we'll see if she gets sent home. And if you send home a kindergartner for showing your shoulders, you're weird.
This doesn't seem that odd to me because this is the dress code I followed growing up my whole life. Like from kindergarten on, you had to have your shoulders covered point blank period, which of course was annoying because I was a little fashionista in second grade and sometimes you wanted to wear a tank top. But I thought this was like the standard school dress code, no?
Yeah, and I'm assuming no shoulders means for boys and girls, so no tanks. Is that their way of saying no tank tops?
Maybe, but growing up, I did not have that because I grew up in Louisiana and God bless, somebody had common sense and was like, well, let the children show their shoulders. I think no spaghetti straps was the rule. For girls in Louisiana. And it might have changed now. And the thing is, like, what's wrong with the tank top then? Like, that's what I don't get. What is wrong with 5-year-olds showing their shoulders in a really hot state when they will be playing outside?
Well, I know you get to a certain age and deodorant is key, but
they're not there yet.
They're not there yet. So you want them pits covered, not so much the shoulders covered. You can keep the smell in.
So y'all are making me feel a little better. Like it is weird. There may be a reason, but it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I can't
Yeah, I can't put my finger on it.
None of the stuff like teenagers, girls, cover yourself up so you don't distract boys. That doesn't exist when you're five.
Right.
And if it exists because of adults, then you didn't do a good enough background check. So what's the problem?
Can't tell you.
The Burt Show.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
Kristen, Cassie, and I are in here cursing each other for watching Hunting Wives on Netflix.
No, I'm cursing both of you for having recommended it. Because I've seen it pop up, like when I open up Netflix, there it is. It's always in the top shows. I've heard Cassie talk about it in studio. I've heard Bert talk about it in studio. And normally I don't go for a scripted show. I like a good documentary, right? I love a good, you know, true crime doc, whatever. And I was like, meh. Let's give it a shot. And because I do love, is her name pronounced Malin Ackerman or Malin Ackerman?
I don't know.
Which one is she? She's the one we see mostly naked.
Yes. I think it's actually Malin.
Malin Ackerman.
She's a great actress.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, and I'm a fan and I'm like, all right, cool. Let's watch it. Dude, I got sucked into Texas so fast.
I mean, man.
I started talking with an accent. wanting to put on my cowboy hat.
I think the word you use, campy, is probably perfect, man. Because it's ridiculous entertainment that's escape, but there's nothing real about it whatsoever. It's infuriating in some cases.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been infuriated, but yeah, it is. It's like, and it's weird because, you know, you're dealing with murder and you don't normally describe murder as camp, but it is... It is camp, it is scandalous, and it is salacious, it's outlandish, but not to the point of, like, you roll your eyes.
Right.
You're still like, no, this could happen.
Yeah, I without giving anything away, because you guys haven't finished it yet.
No.
I did.
Oh, you did.
Oh, I binged it because of you fools.
I rolled my eyes at the end. I was really good up until the very end, and then I rolled my eyes at the end. I thought they just were like, okay, we're over it. And then they just gave us the storyline in like half an hour.
Oh, I hate when they do that on shows.
It's just my feeling. Though,
when
man.
You're just like, oh, you can tell the author or whoever got bored and was like, oh, God, I got a good deadline. I feel like if you're watching it, they nailed some stereotypes really well of like Northeasterners versus Texas Southern.
Oh, I've lived that. So let me tell you just a quick story before you go on. I was working in Washington, D.C., and then I got a job in Dallas, Texas. And at first when I was called a Yankee down in Texas, I didn't know any better, so I kind of thought it was funny, and I was associating it with the New York Yankees and stuff. But then after a while, it became like a dirty word. When I was called a Yankee down in the South, I was like offended by it. But there is a definite attitude difference in the North and the South.
For me, it was the scene in the first episode, maybe in the bathroom. I don't want to go into too much, but basically somebody strips down and the girl from Boston is in there and the girl from Texas is in there. And I lived in Boston. I'm from the UK originally, and even though I grew up in Louisiana, like, my parents' values very much values is the wrong word. The way that they move through life aligns very much with like the Northeast and England. So the first time I came to the South and I was in a situation like that where some girl just stripped down in front of me, I was like, what is happening? What do I do? Do I avert my eyes? Do I turn around? Like, and I just felt like they acted it out so well in that moment. I'm like, yep, that was me 20 years ago.
Yeah, if you want some mindless TV, and we're not getting paid by Netflix to talk about this at all, it's called Hunting Wives. And it's entertaining.
It is entertaining, but you're right. That last episode, and that was the last episode was the first episode where I looked at that and all my true documentary like knowledge came in and I'm like, that would never happen.
Yeah, I think Cassie nailed it. It's just like they were bored with it or something. They're like, yeah, we got to wrap up all these storylines in 30 minutes. Let's go.
I'm like, every time you turned around, there was another body on the ground. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on?
That's right. All right, so what is the proper etiquette? When a dude wants to buy you a drink at a bar, what is the etiquette? What's controversy here?
It's a debate me and my mom got into after a gentleman sent me a drink at a bar over the weekend. I have never had this happen. I thought this was the kind of thing that only happened in the movies where a bartender will approach you and be like, well, the gentleman across the bar wants to send you a beverage, you know. Like, I short-circuited. I didn't know what to do. I was like, give me the drink, I guess. What's the drink? What drink did he buy me?
Not to overthink it, but when you're looking at the psychology behind buying somebody else a drink, isn't it kind of saying, I've done something for you, so now you have to talk to me?
In a little, yeah, it does kind of feel like that, but in a way, so I was at the St. Regis and it was popping. It was probably 10 p.m. It was like peak hour for the St. Regis. And so it was a really crowded bar. So I think this was kind of his way of trying to like come over and be welcome when he comes over. Because I understand like it can be very intimidating for guys to approach women. I was with my mom. I was talking to another couple sitting next to me at the bar. So I could see like a rich person at the St. Regis just be like, yeah, let me throw money at this. But the
I think you should be able, when somebody buys you a drink from the other end of the bar, I think you should be able to be like in the old Coliseum where you either give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down if they can come over or not.
I love that. So here's where the etiquette comes into play, because this whole interaction was so bizarre and uncomfortable. Like, I applaud him for making the move, but this entire situation was so uncomfortable. So I'm sitting at the bar, I'm having a drink with my mom, I'm drinking a glass of Sauvignon Blanc because that's what we love. We love a Sauvignon Blanc in the summer. And the bartender comes over and says, hey, a gentleman across the bar wants to buy you a drink. And the first thing I do is I look across the bar to see if there's a guy who's going to like make eye contact with me and be like, hey, I'm the guy. I'm buying you a drink. Because I wanted the chance to be like, you know, to refuse it, to have the first right of refusal or whatever. But there's no man making eye contact with me. So I was like, oh, it's just a mysterious man who wants to give me free alcohol. That's great. And then this was his first mistake. So the guy's like, yeah, he wants to buy you a drink. And I was like, perfect. My next question is, what drink did he buy me? Assuming he's just going to get me the same glass of whatever I'm drinking. He goes, yeah, he wants to send you a glass of rosé. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not drinking rosé, but whatever. So he pours the glass of rosé. And I'm like, that's a little weird. I'm like, it's not even a super nice rosé, but whatever. So I'm sitting there, I'm taking a sip of the rosé because it's free, and I'm kind of looking around, I'm like, is he going to come over and say hi and approach us? And so I'm like sitting there like, this is uncomfortable, whatever. So I keep talking to the couple next to me, I'm talking to my mom, and then all of a sudden these two guys come up and go, hey, we're the guys. And he just pivots and looks directly at me and just starts a conversation with me. And I'm like looking at him like, my mom is also here. Also, I'm in a conversation with these other people. And he just kind of corners me into this conversation.
So there's no excuse me?
There's no excuse me. It's just kind of like, hey, we're the guys. Okay. Not like that. It was a little bit more suave because this is the St. Regis. So it was a little bit fancier than that. And I'm just kind of, you know, trying to entertain this guy because I feel bad because he sent me this drink. But his friend is behind him. And his friend is a little shifty. You know when someone just seems like they've got a little bit of anxiety and they want to get out of a situation?
Yeah.
So the shifty friend is like, okay, let's go.
He's like embarrassed.
He
doesn't really want to be there.
Yes, because he's not a part of this interaction. And so this entire situation is just very uncomfortable. I give him my number because I don't know what else to do. He immediately texts me and then adds me on Snapchat like we're 22. And the whole time I'm thinking, like, I feel like this guy just played this playbook, this classic move that men do all the time so wrong.
But he didn't because you gave him your number. Well, so to him, it was a success. So now he's going to keep on doing it.
You're an enabler.
I know. I had to block him because I didn't know how to say no. Oh, I'm like, am I in the wrong? Yeah. Am I judging this guy a little bit too hard? Or did he not do this correctly? correct.
Okay, let's go over this line. Let's dissect this. All right, to
Donkey. He added me on Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm not bummed by how you handled it. Actually, the whole thing is just so awkward, right? Because it really is like you feel like the bad person if somebody spends money on you and they are paying, giving a drink. You feel like the bad person for saying no, even though there should be no obligation. Somehow, some way, the definition is you're rude if you don't say yes and come over and I accept conversation.
Because who turns down a free drink?
Well, it's just weird. There's an obligation there. When somebody gives you money, you're supposed to be able to reciprocate in some way, right?
Exactly. It feels like I'm a part of this narrative that I didn't want to be a part of. I didn't want to have to look you in the eyes and go, no, I'm not interested. And now I feel like I'm a villain.
I think the only flaw here is you giving him your phone number. Because that is false hope for him. You could have turned around and said, hey, thank you so much. But you're in the moment, you're panicking.
Yeah, don't you think it's nicer for me to not embarrass him in front of his little shifty friend, embarrass him in front of all these people I'm talking to, like my mom and this other couple, and to just turn him down in private? Don't you think that's the better move, even though I just blocked him?
Or like when the bartender came over and said, hey, the man across the bar wants to buy you a drink, and you looked and there wasn't anybody there, and you asked the bartender, well, who's the gentleman? And if he can't point him out, be like, I don't accept drinks from strangers.
Oh. Yeah. But she would accept a drink from a stranger if she could see who it was.
That's the thing, is I'm like, who is it?
This is, I feel a little bit on the bartender, honestly. Because the bartender, if you're like, okay, cool, you have to help. I'm not saying you need to be a wingman. That's not your job. But I'm saying like, yeah, the way I've had it done, the one time I got it was the bartender came up to me and said, a guy across the bar would like to buy you a drink. Do you want that? And then they were like, it's the guy on the corner. Like they didn't look and point, but they explained it. And then I was able to look and be like, yes or no, based off that. So I feel like the bartender should have pointed them out or told you where they were. And then you could have refused the drink that way.
Yeah. And it's almost like a better way to be able to turn them down, because he can come to any conclusion in his mind as to why I'm turning down this drink and that maybe it's not a personal thing.
Unless this guy really knew what he was doing, buys you a drink and then ducks away from the bar so the bartender can't point him out. So when you come up, it's kind of a surprise. You can't say no because you don't know who it is.
I feel like I got ambushed.
It's low-key kind of nice, because it would be weird if someone bought you a drink and you looked over and they're just like staring at you like, hey, you know, gives me the ick.
Have you seen, like, in the movies and in TV shows, the proper way to do it is to be like very cool and suave at the end of the bar, and then when you turn and you look and he just kind of like gives you like a quick little nod.
Yeah.
He's not like glaring at you, but it's just a quick nod, and then you break eye contact.
I think the thumb thing works either up or down, man.
I'm for this. I love it.
And everybody in the Coliseum, which is now the bar, gets to see it happen.
I'm going to have everybody in the St. Regis vote next time. It's going to be like American Idol. I'll be like, thumbs up or thumbs down, texting your votes, right? Because we'll be here.
You can even say, are you not entertained? I love the concept. Let's run with it.
I think it's great.
The Burt Show.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
All right, so if you are a parent, you are figuring out the number one stressor probably is how to handle phones with your kids. When do we give them a phone? When do we give them an access to it? And I've seen a lot of debate online and a lot of different philosophies, and there's a new one that popped up about 48 hours ago that people are scrambling about.
Every time I hear Kylie Kelce open her mouth, I fall more in love with her and I want her to be my mom best friend. Now, Kylie Kelce, I think she was a hockey coach. She has a podcast called Not Gonna Lie, but she's also married to Jason Kelce, who is the brother to Travis Kelce, who is dating Taylor Swift. Now you get it. All right. So she was talking to Kelly Ripa on her podcast, and she was saying that she's a mom of four kids. I think they're aged like 4 months to 4 years old, which is a lot. And they're going to do something called the kitchen phone, where they have family communal cell phones that stay in the kitchen and that you kind of check out based on what you're doing.
We will be doing what I'm calling the kitchen phone.
Uh-huh.
In other words, there will be one or two extra cell phones besides mom and dad's cell phone.
Right.
That they can take with them if they have somewhere they're going where there will not be a parent, or mm-hmm. if they will need to get a hold of us, or if they're at something sports related, whatever.
So she goes on to say they can still have their friends having that phone number. They can call it anytime, but the phone's got to stay on the first floor of the house and it's going to live in the kitchen. So it won't go upstairs. It's not going in the basement, nowhere but the first floor. So a lot of moms were like, love this idea. You still get access to the cell phone, but then it's more controlled, so you can't be messaging randos on the internet. Like, I know who's calling. But other moms are like, yeah, okay, can't wait. I love when toddler moms make rules about teens. You have no idea. And one of the big debates that came up was, kids are going to find a way. So even if you restrict their cell phone use, they're going to make fake Instagram accounts. They'll make fake Snapchat accounts. They'll use their friends' phones to do all that, which is kind of even more dangerous because then they're especially hiding it from you and you don't know what's going on.
I can account for this because before I moved here, I was a youth group leader for a bunch of high school girls. And of course, when you go to a church, like, you got a lot of like strict parents. And so when they would tell me these things like, oh yeah, I have a Finsta that my mom doesn't know about, or I have like a fake Snapchat account that my mom doesn't know about, I would always be in this weird position where it's like, I don't want to rat you out because I want you to trust me. But at the same time, like, mm-hmm. if your parents are being so strict that you're doing all these back end ways to be able to get on these social media platforms, I feel like they should know.
But if you have the phones in the house, because I think one of their rules also is that it has to be on the main level, they're not allowed mm-hmm. to take the phones upstairs, downstairs, then that sort of alleviates the fake Insta, right? Because your parents could be looking over your shoulder all the time.
No, yeah.
Because on that one floor,
they'll use their friends' phones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when they go to school or go out, they'll have access to tablets or whatever, and you'll make the fake Instagram accounts.
I did see some comments saying, and I had to ask Hollis about this, my 18-year-old is like, yeah, this sounds really good, but a lot of the kids that don't have phones will get bullied for not having a phone. Mm. So I asked Hollis, I'm like, you know, would one of your friends get in like bullied just because they can't communicate with you or you don't have access to the phone? And he said to me, Dad, the definition of bullying is really weird now. Like, you might get a joke at you or somebody might give you a hard time, but you're not going to get bullied for it.
Yeah, and I like the idea, but what I like even more is actually something Abby just brought up. I did this for my sister. I was that person, which I don't think is fair to place on a child, and it wasn't my parents. They didn't place it on me, but I'm saying having a younger leader in your kid's life who they can look up to and confide in, because if something happened to one of the kids in Abby's youth group, she'd be able to go to them and say, this, they have a Finsta account, this is the name, you can investigate it here. So having somebody that your kid feels comfortable giving that information to as a trusted source and someone you trust as a parent, I think is more important than where the cell phones live in the house.
Man, we were all trying to figure this one out here, and I still believe, and I know I sound super old school here, man, I think that the access that we're giving to our kids and the unlimited access we're given to our kids, we're only going to see, like, well, we're starting to see, I think, the social ramifications of it now. I think it's only going to get worse. So I think all parents are trying to figure this out.
Dude, the big tech giants, Zuckerberg, Gates, they don't give their kids social media access or phones.
That speaks volumes, mm-hmm, right there.
And
right?
The rich schools are all focused on no digital learning.
Hey.
The Burt Show.
As Kristen likes to say, two things can be true at the same time, and I think that goes for parenting kids that are going off to school, right?
There are those who are, my baby's growing up. And then there are those who are like, get out of my house!
The first one was a really good impression of how you sounded a couple days ago.
For those of you that are the latter here, we have set up a Rejoice line, the parent Rejoice line. If you want to rejoice in the quietness of your house and your kids being in school now, you can do whatever you want for most of the day. Then you go ahead, leave us a message at 404-954-1360.
I'm ready to party.
Bert Show. I feel this with my whole heart, and so I am a father of a 2.5-year-old. And when I tell you, I cannot wait for this little thing to go back to school. Love her to heart. I love her dearly. But when I say, I cannot wait to not hear ee or have to walk around all quiet around the house because she's on during her nap, or have to come up with 6 different activities in the same day, and then hear again ee all freaking to feed me out of house and home. She's only 2 years old. How is she eating more than me and my wife combined? This is our first one. But boy, I cannot wait till next week and this little girl goes back to school. That's my joy. That's my sunshine. But she gotta go. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom, let me loose. That's how I feel. Thank you for letting me get that out.
I've got 2 kids, aged 5 and 3. It was their first day of kindergarten and pre-K. And did I cry on the first day of school? Hell yeah, I did. Cried tears of joy because for the first time in a long time, I have had 2, counting them, 1, 2 consecutive nights of uninterrupted sleep, no child waking me up. And yesterday I got to have a 40-minute conversation over lunch with my husband without being interrupted by mom. And we didn't talk about children once. Hallelujah, they're back to school. By the way, my name is Bassie, and you definitely don't know me.
Oh, Bassie.
I thought it sounded familiar. Bassie.
She's a P1.
Yeah, big P1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's in studio every day.
Yeah, she's very active on the Burt Show Facebook page.
We understand. Hey, if you want to call the Parent Rejoice line, hit us up at 404-954-1360. All right, 100 days of good goes round. We are on day 66. Let's go ahead and help another teacher out today.
Teachers, need help with your classroom needs? Let the Burt Show fam help clear your wish list.
You know the drill. Teachers are paying for their school supplies and their decorations, and we are trying to help out and make sure they are not paying one penny. So today, we are focusing on Peachtree City in Fayette County and a 5th grade teacher.
Hey everyone, my name is Allison Barron, and I'm a 2nd-year teacher who taught 4th grade last year and 5th grade this year at Kedron Elementary, which is located in Fayette County. I'm so grateful and blessed to get to work alongside my mom, the amazing leadership and staff at my school, and work with fantastic students. My mom has actually taught 5th grade for 27 years in this county. Growing up and watching my mom love what she did every day made me realize that I shared the same passion for teaching students and helping them grow. Clearing my wish list would mean the absolute world to me. Some of the items I have on my wish list are items to help the students become more independent, respectful, responsible problem solvers. Our school is a leader in me school, which is where students take charge and lead their learning through different initiatives, interests, and leadership jobs around the school and classroom. Items like the Swiffer mop helps them to become a leader and keep their classroom clean and safe, while the games of Battleship help to support student engagement and remind students that math can be everywhere around them. When I graduated college, I made the decision to move home to be closer to family. I always knew that Fayette County was where I wanted to be because of the love and the passion that I saw my mom have for this county. Moving home came with an extra task, though. Both of my grandparents, who helped raise me, had gotten diagnosed with dementia earlier that year, and I knew I wanted to help take care of them. Back in November, we made the difficult decision and moved houses so that my parents, my sister with autism, and myself could help support them in the best way possible. Since all 4 of us work full-time, we take shifts to make sure that they are always cared for every minute of the day. Normally, I would purchase these items myself, but with the sudden shift in home life, it has been difficult to continue to grow my classroom supplies this school year. Clearing my wish list would not only continue to inspire the future leaders in my current classroom, but also all the future leaders to come and the impact that learning, acts of kindness, and acts of generosity can have on them. Thank you all for your support in our future leaders.
I just checked out her wish list.
Yeah, what do we got?
We got another porch goose!
A what?
Another porch goose!
Are those like a thing?
I don't know, but it's the second one. It's the classroom pet, and then they get outfits to decorate it for the holidays. But yeah, this is the second porch goose that I've seen on our teacher's wish list.
I kind of want to get one now.
Yeah. Should we get a porch goose for the Birch of Studio?
We should.
Yes! We would defile that thing.
There's a lot of items on this list that are like $7, man. $9. No, I mean, there's... 15. Here's one for $2.99. Airheads? Hi. $2.99. So can you afford that? Maybe it's one less cup of coffee today at Starbucks for like $2.99 for a woman that certainly deserves it, man. I mean, listen to this. Teaches at the same school as her mom, and then she moved back to take care of her ailing grandparents.
Yeah, she said like that. That's a top tier teacher in person right there. And I love the fact that she and her mom have such this beautiful relationship and looks up to her, wanted to be a teacher, and they get to like teach together. I think that's so sweet.
Right, so can you help her out in Peachtree City at Cajun Elementary in Fayette County? We have a link on up to her wish list at thebirdshow.com.
The Bird Show.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.